We're continuing on in our sermon series today called Spirit Led. We've looked at various different things in the series. Well, we looked last week at the first week of the series is introducing our leader. Let's get an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. Last week we looked at the reality that we're no longer under the law, because if you learn to follow the Holy Spirit, that's the person you need to follow. It's no longer following a legalistic law, but a person, not a principle, a person. And so that's what we looked at last week. Today we're going to look at some of the languages that he speaks and some of the preferred languages the Holy Spirit uses. Next week we're going to look a little bit about how to respond to him. And then in the last week we're going to look at how he is in me, on me, and among us, and talk a little bit about some of the dynamics of that. So it should be an interesting series. Stick with us. If you haven't been with us for the first two, I'd recommend you go and catch up online. This topic of the person of the Holy Spirit is something very precious to me. Being led by him, walking in the Spirit, hearing his voice, these are precious life-giving realities that we all should make a lifelong focus and passion. We ended last week, for those just to catch you up, by saying that Jesus made some promises about what the Holy Spirit would do, and the Holy Spirit is going to be absolutely faithful to do what Jesus said he would do. And so this voice of the Holy Spirit is going to be doing what Jesus promised. And we also just looked briefly and said, well, how do we recognize whether it's the Holy Spirit or whether it's just my voice or maybe the devil? And we realized that the content of the message and the voice that speaks will reflect the nature of its speaker. So if it is the Prince of Peace who is speaking, his voice will convey peace. If it is the father of lies who is speaking, it will be lies and distortion of truth. If it is the Spirit of truth, it will bring life. If it is the comforter, it'll bring you comfort. If it's the accuser of the brethren, it will bring condemnation. So the nature of the person speaking will be reflected in the voice. Does that make sense? But we looked last week at just these five things, and I want to bring them up again as a reminder to us. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach and remind us. In John 14, 26, he said, he will teach you about all things, and he'll remind you of everything that I have said. In John 15, 26, he said, the Spirit of grace who goes out from me, from the Father, he will testify about me. One of the things the Holy Spirit loves to do is to testify. And one of the things the Holy Spirit loves when we step out in faith, when we take a bold testimony, when we make a bold declaration, this is who God is, he loves to step in and support that testimony. Jesus said that the Spirit of God will testify about me, but you must also testify. And this is one of the reasons why Paul keeps asking the church, guys, you need to be praying for me so that I can boldly proclaim this gospel. Why? Because when you get up in front of people and there's a lot of unbelief or skepticism in the room, it takes courage to declare the truth, even though the room doesn't believe it. But when you declare the truth, the Holy Spirit steps in to make that testimony valid. And he loves that space. So I just want to encourage you, be bold. You can't outboast God. You can't extol his virtues more than they are. You can't make his faithfulness bigger than it already is to you. You can't tell of his love in such a way that you go beyond its measure. So go out and be bold. Declare the goodness and the faithfulness and the kindness of God, and you'll find that the Holy Spirit steps in and testifies. That's absolutely the truth. He said in John 16, 13, he would guide and speak to us. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will guide you into all truth. Now today, I want to focus on the languages of the Holy Spirit. There are different languages. There are different ways God communicates. If you go to a country that's foreign to you and they speak a language that you've never learned, you will struggle. You'll feel frustrated because you can't communicate with the people there. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. We were in Denmark and we were driving around and there were road signs everywhere. And we parked in a parking spot that said, don't park here. But it had times. Don't park here during these times. And we thought, obviously, those are the times that were allowed, and came out of a restaurant in time to find a Danish policeman writing a ticket for this car. And fortunately, I spoke English. He didn't speak English. I didn't speak Danish. But he basically gave up and said, these foreigners are crazy, and left me alone. The problem when you can't communicate, when you're a foreigner to the language, is it can be frustrating. But if you speak the language, it's the easiest thing in the world. Now, the Holy Spirit has certain languages that He loves to speak. And you and I need to learn to become fluent in the languages that He loves to speak. You say, well, why can't He just speak to me? No, He can and He will. But I want to just set your mind, I want to help you and focus, and if you can learn to speak some of these languages, I think you'll find it delightfully easy. There are around 7,111 languages that are currently spoken on the earth, according to ethnologue.com. That's not including the languages that are spoken in heaven. Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and I speak in the tongues of angels and I have not love, so there are tongues of men and there are tongues of angels. There's 7,000 tongues on earth. And I don't know how many tongues in heaven that are not on earth, but there's a bunch of languages, and the Holy Spirit speaks all of them. But I'm wanting to talk to you about the way that Holy Spirit understands and speaks, and we have to recognize that He speaks about spiritual realities that the physical realm have not yet seen. So there are some aspects of the spiritual realm that are mirrored in the physical realm, because the spiritual realm existed before the physical realm, because the Bible says the angels sang while God created the physical realm. So there are some things that carry over. God has built marriage into the natural realm. He created two sexes so that we could understand how it is that Jesus has a bride, and he built kids into the equation so that we could understand the Father's heart. And He's built some things into this natural realm that are spiritual truths. But for the most part, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, He's talking to us about spiritual realities, and He's speaking into people. And so we're going to look at some scriptures today that speak about this reality. Now, many churches don't like this reality, and they'll tell you, no, don't listen. It's better for you not to listen to God than to try and figure this out. But I'm here to tell you that I think the Holy Spirit wants to take us on an adventure, and He wants us to understand what it is that He's saying. In fact, it's for this very reason that the Holy Spirit was given to you, so that you can understand the voice of God. So let me just talk to you, number one, let's just get this basic understanding out of the way. He speaks spirit. He speaks spiritual languages. Most of us are waiting for an audible voice from the outside. But the Bible says when you were born, you were created in God's image. And John 4 says God is a spirit. And so you were created as a spiritual being. You have a spirit on the inside of you. And because you have a spirit, you can commune with God. Now, you were created in the image of God, and the Bible says you were recreated when you were born in Jesus. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He's prepared in advance for us to do. You were created and recreated in the image of God. You were born from above. Your spirit was given life when you accepted Jesus, and you have a living spirit inside of you that has been made alive to God. You're supposed to be able to hear. Now, when you unite yourself to the Lord, the Bible says you become one with Him in spirit. And so His voice and His leading comes in the spirit. It's not by an audio sound wave that you're able to be here with your own ears. God spoke, my estimation, to about 85 people like that. The 70 elders, He spoke to the nation of Israel, we heard last week. He spoke to the 12 at Jesus' baptism, but that's a tiny fraction of all the people on the earth. Very, very few people have heard God speak audibly. Most of us hear God speak in an inner voice, inside, in the spirit. Now, in Revelations, there's seven times where the scriptures go over this and says, if you have ears to hear, you should hear what the Spirit is saying. He's not talking about physical ears. He's saying not everybody has ears to hear. Not everybody's hearts are attuned to what the Spirit of God is saying. So let me take you to this concept that God speaks about spiritual realities in spiritual ways, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, it makes no sense to you. So let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 2. It's one of those passages of Scripture that people don't really preach a lot on because they don't really want to go here. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. These things that no one has understood, these are the things that God reveals to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, the Spirit knows who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, For what we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities in Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The spiritual person makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any person's judgment. This is love, this. This means that the Holy Spirit will speak to our spirits, and that communication will present itself to our minds. The problem is that the Scripture says no mind has conceived these spiritual realities. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and it jumps up into your mind, it presents itself like any of your other thoughts. See, the Scripture says if you united yourself to the Lord, you become one with Him in spirit. And that same process of His whisper coming into your spirit and then coming into your mind is what happens. Just like the testimony we heard of Don and Linda. He's just sitting there, he's asking, a thought comes into his mind. He's going, was that me? Was that God? The Bible says that these spiritual realities will be given in spirit-taught words. And so This issue of we need to learn to train our minds to accept what comes from our spirit. Paul said this, when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful, but my spirit is praying. It is possible for your spirit to reach around and grab hold of things that your mind hasn't yet conceived. It is possible to receive things from God, to get encouragement from God, to get a word from God, and your brain is still trying to figure out what's going on. Because the Holy Spirit connects with your spirit, and He doesn't wait for your mind to decide whether He's talking or not. He's just going to talk. Now, when your spirit presents that idea to your mind can kick in and say, no, I'm not receiving that or whatever. But I would counsel you. One of the things we're trying to learn is how we can have this freedom to say, Lord, would you speak to me, and have an expectation, because I guarantee you that's been happening to all of you. If we polled the room and found out, just like Don and Linda said, I had this whisper, how many people have had that? I think you'd all go, yeah, I've seen that at times. And the problem, I think, for most of us is not that God is not being faithful to speak, or not that He's wanting to communicate with us, is that our brains lock on and go, oh, that can't be God. I'm sure that was probably just me. We annul a lot of what God is whispering to us because it's so gentle and it's so kind that we're expecting something else. So Colossians 1 verse 9, this is what Paul said, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with a knowledge of His will. What a great prayer. How many of you would be like to be full of the knowledge of God's will? People say, well, I don't know what God's will is. Well, that ought not to be, because you can pray this prayer, God, fill me with the knowledge of your will. I want to know God's will. And the Bible teaches it's for that reason God gave you the Holy Spirit, so that you can understand what God has freely given you. So let's just recap quickly. In Corinthians 2, we learned that God reveals things by His Spirit, things that are taught by His Spirit. He explains spiritual realities. We discern things in the Spirit. And in Colossians 1:9, we understood that there's revelation that the Spirit and wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives. So things are revealed, they're taught, they're explained, they're discerned, and they're given. Is what those scripture teaches us. The Holy Spirit in our spirits does all of those things. He reveals, He teaches, He explains, He discerns, and He gives. Now, that's all going to go on because it's a spirit-to-spirit communication. Whether your brain is able to accept all of that from your spirit or not is the real issue. So we have to learn to renew our minds to the fact that God's voice will be speaking. So if you get and understand the premise, God is going to speak, the Holy Spirit is going to speak spiritually. He's going to minister to your spirit, it's going to come up. If you understand that, the second thing you need to know is that He speaks whisper. Whisper is a language. I always used to think that when God spoke, there was going to be like an earthquake, There'd be a 16-part harmony. There'd be a booming bass voice. I would know that that was God speaking. And I've discovered, for the most part, that God whispers to me. And I think he does it for this reason. There's a quiet, gentle voice. He whispers things because he's wanting to see who the diligent seekers are. The casual inquirers, the people who don't care, the people who have disdain for God, will not hear the voice of God, and they'll run into an end that's on them. But the people who are hungry, going, he whispers, and it's enough. A whisper is enough to arrest you. You go, Lord, could you tell me that again? And most of the time when he speaks to me, I'm going, whoa, wait, say that again. That ability to stop and to lean in, to hear a whisper and have it be enough to pique your interest, that's what I think he's looking for. And so many of the times, most of the time, I would venture to say, the Holy Spirit speaks is that he speaks to me in a gentle internal whisper. And 1 Kings 19 is the obvious scripture for this, because Elijah is waiting to hear from God. And the Lord said to him, go stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord is about to pass by. So God says, listen, I'm coming by. And so he goes and he waits. And then a great and a powerful wind tears up the mountain and shatters rocks. And it's an amazing storm. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went and stood on the mouth of the cave. And then the voice of the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God was in the gentle whisper. He wasn't in the violence and the earthquake and the wind and the fire. He was in the whisper. Now, far more often in my life, God's voice is in a whisper. The Holy Spirit's leading is a whisper, not a storm or a fire or an earthquake. And we most often expect the spectacular when all he's doing is bringing the supernatural in a very natural way. Let me say that again. We're waiting for the spectacular when God's bringing the supernatural. Not everything supernatural is spectacular. Okay? It's nice when God does the spectacular. We were in a meeting and this woman who got baptized and came up out of the water, she was born blind and she was about 20 years old in one of the meetings. She came up out of the waters and God healed her eyes. It's a spectacular, we were partying, it was a fun event. I was in a meeting where a young guy, a woman's spine was broken and her 10-year-old son was crying out to God and God put her spine back together. And she began to run around and scream. We've been in the meetings where the spectaculars happened, but I want to tell you that 99% of what God shows up and does in our life is not spectacular, but it is always supernatural. Some of it's just quiet whispers. And somehow we go, well, give me the spectacular, God, and we're missing the 99.9% of the supernatural that's going on every day in our spirit all the time. So the Holy Spirit's communication is childlike in its simplicity, awesome in its power, beautiful in its depth. He's not trying to wow you with how impressive he is. He is way more impressive than we could ever get. He's not trying to make up that ground. He's trying to speak to us. So he whispers, and it's simple, and it's beautiful, and it's awesome in its power. And so this is what he comes to do. The Holy Spirit comes to strengthen us internally, in our inner being, in our spirit, as the Bible says. Because your spirit needs strength to lay hold of some of the inheritance that God has for you. Let me take you to Ephesians 3. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp. I pray that he would pour out his spirit in your heart to strengthen your inner being. Why? So that you can have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to experience, to let this drip from your taste buds, to taste and see this magnificent, glorious love that will blow your mind, that your brain will never be able to get hold of. That's what Paul's saying. I pray that the Holy Spirit would stir you and give you strength internally so you can lay hold of this glorious love that God has for you. The Holy Spirit loves to speak whisper. Learn to speak whisper. Far too many people think that he's in the shout, in the storm, and in the earthquake. And so they hear him every now and again when he is in the shout, or the storm, or the earthquake. and they miss out on the 99.9% of the time when he's in a whisper. Learn to speak whisper. Number two, he speaks picture. He loves to speak in pictures. If you don't think that pictures are a language, you're going to miss out on a lot of what the Holy Spirit's trying to communicate with you. One of his favorite languages is pictures. The Bible says, I'll pour up my spirit on all flesh, the prophecy of Joel, and your sons and daughters will see visions, and your old men and women will dream dreams. He loves to speak in pictures because in a picture, he can convey in 1 second into our spirit what would take in words several volumes. He can impart this massive amount of information, emotion, perspective, and understanding, all jammed up into one picture that it'll take a long time with words. So oftentimes when we're waiting on the Lord, he gives us a picture, and you hear some people are trying to explain now, well, I saw this picture, and I feel like this is what the Lord... It takes ages to explain what the Lord gave you in 1 second. And so the Lord, Holy Spirit, loves to speak pictures. He gives pictures in our mind. Now, if you don't understand this, if you don't speak picture, you're standing in a foreign country, and he's speaking pictures, and you're frustrated because you're trying to communicate. And he's constantly speaking, but you're a foreigner to him because you don't understand the language. So learn to speak picture. So, hey, I'm a little worried about this. Let me show you. 1 Samuel 3. In the Jewish writers, a lot of the Old Testament, the style of the Jewish writers is they would say a truth from multiple perspectives. So they would say one thing, they'd repeat it with different words, but it means the same thing. So in Samuel 3:1, you have the same thing. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. He's repeating the same concept, but it shows you the concept that to their mind, the word of the Lord came in pictures. The word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. God often spoke with vision. It was part of what the Holy Spirit does. Now, in Jeremiah 1, there's a nice little progression here where the Lord is teaching Jeremiah how to listen in pictures. And he says, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, I see the branch of an almond tree. There's a picture of a branch of an almond tree. Now, let me just hit the pause button there. Because to the Jews, the almond tree, they call it the hasty tree. It was the first of the branches to put out shoots. It was the first to produce almonds. It was the first fruit of the season. It was the hasty tree. It was the one that was always rushing, always slightly out of season, just on it too hard. A little bit like, calm down there, buddy. You're just a little too intense on this. So the Lord says to him, what do you see? He says, I see an almond tree. And he says, you've seen correctly because I'm watching over this word to see that it's fulfilled. God says, listen, buddy, you know, that's accurate. That's exactly what's going on because I am urgent. I'm on this. I am stirring myself. This is going to come early, this word. And the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that's boiling, I answered. It's tilting towards us from the north. So the picture now is a massive boiling pot of water. It's boiling over, and it's tilting towards me. And you see it fall, and you see boiling water running at you. That's the vision Jeremiah has. And the Lord says, I'm about to summon the people of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord, and their kings will come up and set their thrones in the entrance of the gate of Jerusalem, and they will come against all the surrounding walls and against all the towns of Jerusalem. The Lord said, yep, that's it. This is the word against Jerusalem, a boiling pot being tilted towards you. And by the way, I'm going to do it quickly. Two pictures, a whole prophecy. If you don't speak picture, you might miss that. You might be in prayer and go, "The hell? I don't want an almond branch in my mind. Lord, I'm praying about serious things here." Zechariah. He asked me, what do you see? And I answered, I see a golden lampstand with a bowl at the top, 7 lamps on it, with 7 channels to the lamps, the 2 olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl, one on its left. And I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And he answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. And he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. But he didn't see words. He saw a picture. He goes, what is this? He goes, don't you know what this is? He goes, no. He says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We have to train ourselves to learn to speak picture. So next time you're asking the Holy Spirit and a picture comes into your mind, I would just dare you to take a little moment to look around. What do you see? to look around it, see where the focus is, see what emotion is part of it, and ask the Lord, could you explain this to me? When God wanted Peter to learn that the Gentiles are included with the Jews in the salvation, he gave him a picture of a sheep coming out with unclean animals and told him to get up and kill and eat, and he said no. And it was only 3 days later, after the Holy Spirit had told him to go preach, and the Holy Spirit had fallen, and the unbelievers, the Gentiles got tongues, and Peter was like, hey, now I know what that picture was about. So sometimes it's going to take a little time. It's not automatic that the first time you see it, and you find people like you find people like Ezekiel and Daniel. Ezekiel is walking around, and he says, "And then I looked, and then they showed me something else." And he said, "And I looked, and I saw that, and then I looked around in the vision." So after a while, you're going to learn when you speak fluent picture that the Holy Spirit can give you pictures, and you can walk around the picture, and you can learn, and you can dig out, you can unearth as you walk around the picture multiple truths as the Holy Spirit whispers them to you. It's very exciting. I dare you to try speak picture this week. You'll find that the Holy Spirit will love to speak to you. Very cool. Are you still with me, or did I freak you out with all of that? He speaks body language. It's one of his favorite messages. Corinthians 12 says, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The Holy Spirit, one of his favorite things to do is see to it the unity of the body of Christ. He is constantly working harmony, unity, togetherness amongst everybody who believes. He's building different age, different races, different sex, different socioeconomic groups, different language groups. The Holy Spirit is constantly building one body out of a multiplicity of people because he's constantly working this way. So he has built in to the way he functions, because the Bible says the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so when we come together, the Holy Spirit is constantly working on the inside of us, if you cooperate with him, to love other people, to bear with them, to be patient, to be kind, to be gracious, to give encouragement, to love them, to hug them, to greet them. There's multiple ways that the Holy Spirit is constantly coaxing us to get together. Because just like a natural body, the bloodstream goes throughout the whole body, and it pumps oxygen and it pumps nutrition to various parts of the body. And where there's gunk and, you know, poison and something's not healthy, the blood takes all of that and washes it, pushes it to the liver and, you know, kidneys, and says, sort this out and get rid of it. Right? And so when we come together in the body of Christ, one of the ways the Holy Spirit loves to speak to us and bring nutrient to us and love is that we get in the body of Christ. And so one of the ways the Holy Spirit's going to, I guarantee you, he speaks body language. He's going to speak to you through other people in the body of Christ. Sometimes they know that he's using them and they function in a spiritual gift or prophecy or encouragement, and they deliberate because they felt like Holy Spirit said speak to this person. And sometimes he's going to use them and they don't even know it. I've been in meetings where somebody says, you know, I was down and I was feeling like this, and this is what the Lord showed me, and it's exactly the place where I'm hurting, and it just ministers to me. Or sometimes people say something and the Holy Spirit just uses it and it just boom, I go, whoa. And half the time they didn't know. I walked out of the meeting just touched by God. So here's what's going to happen. Holy Spirit uses body life. He's going to use body language. He's going to speak to you through other believers. That's why if you've got a knot in your string, the worst thing you could do is go and sulk alone, because that poison's going to sit with you. Get with the rest of the body of Christ, and somebody else, they'll just wash it and the body will take care of it. And after a while you go, that was a silly thing. Amen. So cool, Lord. That's why when we're involved with the body of Christ, we thrive, and when we be absent from the rest of the body, we wither. And this is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is going to use the body to speak to you. He is going to create in you a dependence on the body of Christ, because that's the way he designed it. That's the way he wants you to be. This is the way he wants you to walk. That's why the scripture says in Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and there is one Spirit. All right? Well, I don't like those people, so they can be part of the other body. and some other spirit. I'll take the Holy Spirit. They can be in another body with another spirit. No, there's one body and there's one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. This is why the Bible warns so much about selfish ambition. That selfish ambition creates such disorder because the Holy Spirit is working towards bringing a unity and he's tuning the hearts of the body towards one another. And it's out of line for me in that context to seek personal gain. So the Holy Spirit uses body language. He uses the body of Christ to replenish supplies and to share revelation and to remove lies and offenses and other junk from out of our minds. And so hearing from God is going, the leading of the Holy Spirit is going to require you to be part of a body. So James 3 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is unearthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Way to sugarcoat it. It says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will have disorder." See, the Holy Spirit is working a beautiful, beautiful order. But when I come in with selfish ambition, I violate the order that he's building because I pull it towards myself. I create disorder. Selfish ambition creates disorder because the Holy Spirit is not doing it for one individual. He's doing it for the body. That's why all the spiritual gifts are for the rest of the body. They all find their greatest meaning and satisfaction and focus in service to the body. That's why any spiritual gift anywhere in any list is always not for the individual. It's always in service to other people. Because this is what the Holy Spirit does. And so the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the rest of the body. The fruit of the Spirit is for others. Well, I thought the fruit of the Spirit was me. I think I'm going to show myself a little more patience. Well, it's not actually about you, but you showing other people patience. I think I'm going to encourage myself a little more today. I think I'm going to bear with myself a little longer. He speaks whisper. He speaks picture. He speaks body language. Learn to be fluent in those. Well, how do I be led by the Holy Spirit? Learn to speak his language. Respond to his voice. We went to Paris. We went to the metro. I said to the lady, "Could I have 2 tickets, please, to this place?" She looked away. She thought I was British. She wouldn't speak to me. So I'm standing there. I don't speak French. She wouldn't speak to me. Now there's a line of Frenchmen behind me, and they're all starting to shout and pout. So I said to the lady, "Excuse me, I need 2 tickets." So I just stood and waited. Now I got Frenchmen shaking their fists at me. I'm calm. I say, "Excuse me." So my wife, gracious woman that she is, steps up and happens to speak French. She goes, in French, "Excuse me, can we have 2 tickets?" "Oh, yeah, absolutely." You'd be amazed when you learn to speak the languages the Holy Spirit loves to speak, how easy it is. How easy it is for you to hear him. How easy it is to get along. How easy it is to be led by the Spirit. Lastly, I want to say, measure what you hear. Measure it against the Word of God. Measure it against who you know God to be. Measure it by taking it to some of the other people in the body of Christ, sometimes to spiritual leadership, sometimes to other people that you trust and you're in good fellowship with. Measure it. Does it bring peace or does it bring no peace, the lack of peace? And typically in order, if you're going to measure it well, you have to write it down. You have to record it. So make a habit of recording what you believe the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Write it down somewhere or record it on one of those recording apps on your phone. If somebody's bringing you a word, just make sure it's recorded. Why? Because then you can go, "I think this is what he's saying." Many, many times to me, because I journal quite often, during the month, I'll go back and I'll read the whole month. I'm astounded at how clear the Lord has been to me this whole month. Hey, it's not hard to see. So learn to measure what you're hearing, and you'll be astounded at how clear the Lord is being. Let me close in prayer, because I'd like us to ask the Lord to make us linguists. we need to learn his languages. Father, I come to you and I ask, would you help us, Lord, to understand and to hear whispers this week? I pray for every single person in this room who wants it. I pray, Lord, that they would hear your voice, and that you would whisper to them, Lord, of your love and of your kindness and of your majesty. I pray for every single person in this room, Lord, for whispers this week. I pray for pictures, Lord, every single one, that they'd see things from heaven. They hear your voice, Lord, in remarkable ways. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use other members of the body of Christ to speak so very clearly into our lives, to bring us life and encouragement, but most of all, Lord, to remove, Lord, what needs to be removed out of our minds. Take away stinking thinking, Lord, and bring life in Jesus' name. Amen.